Welcome to Glory Light Chapel, the radio ministry of Glory Light Live. I would like to welcome everyone sitting in this room, and also those of you who may be tuned in through internet radio from wherever you may be sitting on the face of this planet. It is our privilege that you are here, and it is our prayer that you will receive a blessing from our message today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. We pray that you will send your angels to worship with us and to drive away the evil one. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to prepare us to receive the blessings you have made ready for us and to guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 sets the table with an example. James 2 verse 1, it says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your heavenly, into your assembly a man with a gold ring," that is a bank account, "in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in his vile," that is, his shabby raiment, "and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing," that is, bright, colorful, or a fine suit, "and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool." Verse 4, "Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?" Jesus was poor, remember? "And heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him." Verse 6, "But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." Now, here's the question. Verse 14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" Well, that's from James. Turn with me to Paul now. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. By the way, let's answer the question today, who is right, James or Paul? James says, "What can it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him?" And now Romans 5, verse 10. It says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." We are saved by grace alone, right? Well, let's look at some more. Luke chapter 7 and verse 50. Luke chapter 7 and verse 50. "And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace." And then let's look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 42. Luke 18 verse 42. And he said unto him, we're talking about the blind beggar here. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. Jesus tells us here that faith can save you. What does he mean? Answer. You ready? The three P's. You are saved from the power of sin when you believe or have faith. Now, the three P's are this. Penalty from sin, power of sin, and presence of sin. We have been saved already from the penalty of sin when Jesus died on the cross and took our consequences or penalty, if you will. So we've already been saved from the penalty of sin. The presence of sin. Jesus saves us from the power of sin when we believe. So in our lives, we are saved from the power of sin if we believe in Christ's word and in his power to keep us from sinning. And then the presence of sin, that's the third P. We will be saved from the presence of sin when Jesus comes to take us home and gives us our new glorious bodies. Then we will leave sin here on earth and we will be saved from the presence of sin. So, Jesus tells us that faith can save you. What does he mean? He means you are saved from the power of sin when you believe or have faith in Christ and his word to keep you from sinning. Now, let's go back to James 2 and look at verse 15. Should have told you to keep a finger there. James chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and if one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And if you have those things, God is asking us to provide for people who are in need. And then let's take a look at 1 John chapter 3, and keep your finger in James. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. All right, and that's what I just sang. First John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. By the way, the bowels are the seat of extreme emotion. That's what the bowels mean in the Bible. It's talking about extreme emotion. That's the seat, if you will, of extreme emotion. Let me read that again. But whoso hath this world's good, in other words, you have something that you can provide, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And back to James chapter 2, verse 17. It says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. The word alone is key here. Faith is never alone. So let me read that again. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Well, let's see what we mean here. Let's look at verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. God is going to put on a show. Faith has to have works to accompany it, to complete it, or it is not accomplished. Turn with me to Galatians 5, and we'll look at verse 6. Faith has to have works to accompany it, to complete it, or it is not accomplished. And what Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 6, may add something to this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love, agape, if you will. So, you see, faith works. Faith is active. It's busy. Faith is alive. It will work. It is active, not passive. Faith is not a couch potato. Now, James 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, let's talk about what it means to believe. From the Review and Herald, Ellen White writes an article in the Review and Herald, July 24, 1888, and she says this about faith. She says, you may say that you believe in Jesus when you have an appreciation of the cost of salvation. You may make this claim when you feel that Jesus died for you on the cruel cross of Calvary, when you have an intelligent understanding faith that his death makes it possible for you to cease from sin and to perfect a righteous character through the grace of God bestowed upon you as the purchase of Christ's blood. Review and Herald, July 24, 1888. So when we have an understanding of what it cost God to provide us with our salvation, and we receive that his word and believe his word, then we can say we believe in Jesus. But now going back to James 2, verse 20. This is the key part of what James is saying. Verse 20 says this, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? What does living faith do? It works. What does dead faith do? Nothing. Dead faith does not result in good works. For without faith we can do nothing, for only God can do it, John 15, verse 5. Now James talks about Abraham. Let's look at verse 21. He says, was not Abraham our father justified, that is, to be made righteous by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Then in verse 22 it says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And in the Greek, the word that's translated made perfect means completed, accomplished, perfected. So let's read it that way. Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith accomplished, completed. So faith works, and when the works comes, faith has accomplished its purpose. Its reason has been fulfilled. So Abraham's faith was completed or accomplished by his works. In that sense only was it perfected or made perfect. Faith, if it does not come to fruition in good works, is not faith at all, but dead faith. The good works of Abraham simply show the perfection of his faith. Now, if you have the book, Give Us This Day, Our Daily Good News, in volume 2, there's number 158, and I would like to go to that right now, so I'm going to go ahead and read that. Give Us This Day, Our Daily Good News, a book, a devotional book written by A.T. Jones and E.J. Wagner, number 158. And quoting what we've just been reading, James 2, verses 22 and 23, it says, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. And this is a passage by A.T. Jones, and Elder Jones says this. Said Abraham, God has said, and that will I do. I interfered once in the promise, and I repudiated all that I had and had done, and come back to the word only. By the way, he's talking about having Ishmael, not believing God's promise that the son would come through Sarah. I interfered once in the promise, and I repudiated all that I had done, and came back to the word only. Then, by a miracle, God gave me Isaac, the promised seed. Now he says, offer Isaac the promised seed for a burnt offering. I will do it. By a miracle, God gave him at the first, and by a miracle, God can restore him. Yet when I shall have offered him for a burnt offering, he will be dead. And the only miracle that can then restore him is a miracle that will bring him back from the dead. But God is able to do even that, and he will do it, for his word is spoken. Even the bringing back of Isaac from the dead will be to God no more than he has already done, for both my body and Sarah's were as good as dead, and yet God brought forth Isaac from us. He can raise Isaac from the dead, and he will bless the Lord. Abraham arose and went to the place of which God had told him, Genesis 22, verse 3. Abraham expected to offer Isaac for a burnt offering and then see Isaac rise from the ashes and go back with him. For the word of God had gone forth, in Isaac your seed shall be called. And Abraham would trust that word only, that it could never fail. Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. This is faith. And thus the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. To trust the word of God only, to depend upon the word of God only, even as against the word of God, this is faith. This is the faith which brings the righteousness of God. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Further comments on this, Abraham had failed the first test. Would he trust the word of God to give him the promised son in their old age? The answer was no. He would try of himself to do God's will, to have a son, and then got Ishmael. Now that the promised son was born, Abraham had to be tested again on the same point. Would he trust the word of God to preserve the promised son, even as against God's own word? This time the answer was yes, and God gave him his oath. The cross of Christ fulfills the sacrifice of Isaac, the oath of God securing his promise to us. In Christ shall your seed be called, Galatians 3:16. This is righteousness by faith. Just as we do not have to actually enter the bank to commit the sin of robbing it, if circumstances prevent us from doing it, we do not have to literally carry out the act of righteousness to have performed it in God's sight. If circumstances prevent us from doing it, an example, Abraham sacrificing Isaac. God stopped his hand so Isaac was not even killed in the first place. But God knew Abraham's consent, and he knew his heart. Another example, the thief on the cross. He did not have to actually do good works. Christ saved him right there and said, "You will be with me in paradise." Abraham did indeed sacrifice Isaac. Back to James chapter 2. And the scripture was fulfilled, that is to make full or complete, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed. That is, from Genesis 15:6, it was counted or credited. To impute means to arrange title. So Abraham believed God, and it was arranged in title unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. It was counted to him for righteousness because he did sacrifice Isaac. God does not count anything that does not exist, for by speaking it, he creates it. So with that in mind, let's read verse 23 again. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified or proved righteous, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Well, what about Revelation chapter 20? Let's turn there and we'll look at verses 12 and 13. Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 and 13. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, that is the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. But faith works. So if you have the works, you must have the faith. And if you don't have the faith, you don't have the works. And if you say you have faith and you don't have the works, then that faith that you say you have is dead faith. But Ellen White has a comment on this. This is from Second Selected Messages, page 377. She says this, while good works will not save even one soul. So our works will not save. While good works will not save even one soul, yet it is impossible for even one soul to be saved without works. And how do we get those works? Jesus has given us those works. And when we believe his word, when we have faith in his promise to give us his righteousness, then those works come. So we can say we're saved by faith alone, but the works are there because the faith is there. From the book Faith and Works by Ellen White, pages 18 to 20, I want to present what she has to say there. Faith and Works, page 18. It's a little lengthy reading, but we'll get through it. On page 18, she says this, the danger has been presented to me again and again of entertaining, as a people, false ideas of justification by faith. I have been shown for years that Satan would work in a special manner to confuse the mind of this on this point. The law of God has been largely dwelt upon and has been presented to congregations almost as destitute of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his relation to the law as was the offering of Cain. Now you remember Cain brought an offering of his own making. Abel brought the offering that God wanted, which was a sacrifice of an animal, pointing to the sacrifice of Christ. pointing to his death on the cross, which would actually give us salvation. And so when we're talking about the offering of Cain, we're talking about an offering of our own works without faith, without believing. All right, let me back up a little. The law of God has been largely dwelt upon and has been presented to congregations almost as destitute of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his relation to the law as was the offering of Cain. I have been shown that many have been kept from the faith because of the mixed confused ideas of salvation, because the ministers have worked in a wrong manner to reach hearts. The point that has been urged upon my mind for years is the imputed righteousness of Christ, that is, arranging title. Christ has given us his righteousness. And it belongs to us. It is ours in our name. And when we believe, then that righteousness comes in our experience. So the point that has been urged upon my mind for years is the imputed righteousness of Christ. I have wondered that this matter was not made the subject of discourses in our churches throughout the land. When the matter has been kept so constantly urged upon me, and I have made it the subject of nearly every discourse and talk that I have ever given to the people. In examining my writings, 15 and 20 years old, I find that they present the matter in the same light, that those who enter upon the solemn, sacred work of ministry should be given preparation and lessons upon the teachings of Christ and the apostles in living principles of practical godliness. They are to be educated in regard to what constitutes earning and living faith. The imputed righteousness of Christ, believing that God has already given us his righteousness, and allowing God then to work that out in our lives. Then the next section is entitled Through Faith Alone. Many young men are sent forth to labor who do not understand the plan of salvation and what true conversion is. In fact, they don't need to be converted. Let me look at that again. Through faith alone, many young men are sent forth to labor who do not understand the plan of salvation and what true conversion is. In fact, they need to be converted. We need to be enlightened on this point, and the ministers need to be educated to dwell more particularly on the subjects which explain true conversion. All who are baptized are to give evidence that they have been converted. There is not a point that needs to be dwelt upon more earnestly, repeated more frequently, or established more firmly in the minds of all than the impossibility of fallen man meriting anything by his own good works. Salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. When this question is investigated, we are pained to the heart to see how trivial are the remarks of those who ought to understand the mystery of godliness. They speak so unguardedly of the true ideas of our brethren who profess to believe the truth and teach the truth. They come far short of the real facts as they have been laid open before me. The enemy has so entangled their minds in the mist of fog and earthliness, and it seems so ingrained into their understanding that it has become a part of their faith and character. It is only a new conversion that can change them and cause them to give up these false ideas, for this is just what they are shown me to be. They cling to them as a drowning man clings to life to a life preserver to keep them from sinking and making shipwreck of faith. Christ has given me words to speak. Ye must be born again, else you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, all who have the right understanding of the matter, of this matter, should put away their controversial spirit and seek the Lord with all their hearts. Then they will find Christ and give distinctive character to their religious experience. They should keep this matter, the simplicity of true godliness, distinctly before the people in every discourse. This will come home to the heart of every hungering, thirsting soul who is longing to come into the assurance of hope and faith and perfect trust in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says, let the subject be made distinct and plain, that it is not possible to affect anything in our understanding before God or in the gift of God to us through creature merit. Creature merit would be what is in our created being, fallen sinful human flesh, okay? Let me read that again. It's important. Let the subject be made distinct and plain that it is not possible to affect anything in our standing before God or in the gift of God to us through creature merit. Should faith and works purchase the gift of salvation for anyone, then the Creator is under obligation to the creature. Here is an opportunity for falsehood to be accepted as truth. If any man can merit salvation by anything he may do, then he is in the same position as the Catholic to do penance for his sins. Salvation, then, is partly of debt, that it may be earned as wages. If man cannot by any of his good works merit salvation, then it must be wholly of grace, received by man as a sinner because he receives and believes in Jesus. It is wholly a free gift. Justification by faith is placed beyond controversy, and all this controversy is ended as soon as the matter is settled in the merits of fallen man and in his good works. Let me read that again. And all this controversy is ended as soon as the matter is settled, that the merits of fallen man and his good works can never procure eternal life for him. So what did we learn? Faith alone. Faith which works. So even the works that result from faith, from our believing in Jesus and his word to make us righteous and to give us his righteousness in our experience, all of that is a gift from God. Well, give us this day our daily good news. We were in volume 2 before. Now I want to go to volume 1, and we're going to look at number 65 in volume 1. And we'll close with this thought, and this is a passage by E.J. Wagner. We're quoting first from Romans and then James, so let's start with that. We conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law, Paul in Romans 3, verse 28. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only, James in James 2, verse 24. Then Dr. Wagner says this, does not the Apostle James say that faith alone cannot save a man? And that faith without works is dead? Let us look at his words a moment. Too many have, with honest intent, perverted them to a dead legalism. He does say that faith without works is dead, and this agrees most fully with what we have just quoted and written from Paul. For if faith without works is dead, the absence of works shows the absence of faith, for that which is dead has no existence. If a man has faith, works will necessarily appear, and by faith boasting is excluded. Boasting is done only by those who trust wholly in dead works, or whose profession of faith is a hollow mockery. If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? James 2:14. The answer, of course, is that it cannot. Why not? Because it hasn't it. It doesn't have faith. Let me read that again. If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? The answer is, of course, that it cannot. Why not? Because he hasn't it. Must we decry the power of faith simply because it does nothing for the man who makes a false profession of it? The fact that he has no good works, no fruit of the Spirit, shows that he has no faith, despite his loud profession. Faith has no power to save a man who does not possess it. Justification, first, last, and all the time, is by faith alone. The Christian cannot be justified by works any more than the sinner can be. But this is not to say that works have nothing to do with faith. Faith which justifies is a faith which makes the man a doer of the law. One is not justified by faith and works, but by faith alone, which works. So, to answer our original question, who is right, James or Paul? The answer is absolutely both of them. As far as practical, let's stand for the benediction. Our benediction is taken from Romans chapter 8. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless everyone, and have a good rest of the Sabbath.